Arizona and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
Here's Mike Cosentino. Here we are, Democratic Perspective for a Monday morning.
And we have Barbara Luttrell from the League of Women Voters. She's the president of the Greater Verde Valley League of Women Voters.
Yeah.
But the big news today, of course, is that the hidden Senate bill that we tried to talk about last week, because they had hidden it, we couldn't really get much information on it.
Well, there's so much to talk about. I mean,
yeah. We need to devote a whole program to this bill.
The Obama administration gave 8 months of talks to the, you know, and these guys want to get it through with no talks.
There was hearing after hearing. People are now saying the Obama administration did think it's the same way. It didn't. It's a lie. There were dozens of hearings. There were consultations. They tried to get the Republicans into it for months and months and months. And at the last minute, they decided to sort of stonewall and let it all be on the Democrats. Their proposal, basically, like a lot of their proposals, the Republican hardcore, is very different from Trump's promises to cover everybody with a better insurance. Trump promised he would have better, cheaper insurance, lower deductibles, less fees, and cover everybody. But the core of the Republican Party,
it was all
that's
a lie.
Not where they, yeah.
It was all a lie.
Well, the core Republican Party, that's not what they want to do. The chief thing the bill does is cut the subsidies and cut affordable care, and at the same time cut taxes for the very wealthy. And one of the ways that Obamacare or the ACA was funded was a tax on, I think it's 3.8% of the investment income above $200,000.
Well, I said, I love the chart, you know, where they have all the income levels and they say, what kind of tax break do you get? And it says 0000000 until you get above $200,000. And then you get a small percentage, and if you get over $1 million, there's 385,000 millionaires that will get a tax cut. I mean, this is who knew.
So the tax cuts that are built into the Senate bill are all for the very wealthy. So you have to have a lot of money to get $200,000 worth of interest income a year, and they only increased it 3.8%.
Yeah,
that's going to go. There are all other kinds of taxes. Maybe we'll have to do a show on it that have been cut. They're all taxes on things that really hit upper income people. So the gist of the thing is that the Republicans have been cutting benefits for the middle class, for working class folks, particularly the working poor. They're going to have a much more substandard insurance at a much higher price.
There you go.
And we could talk. We need to talk
less
about it in some detail. But,
well, I like the AARP commercials. I think you want to mention that.
Yeah.
You know, that
go
the,
ahead.
The age tax that they can charge, that the Trump Care allows insurance companies to charge you thousands more if you're over 50, simply because you're over 50. And forget about pre-existing conditions. That puts you in a whole different pool. And insurance companies love this stuff, but you know, governments who are looking out for the people have tried to modify, you know, the whole insurance thing. Those two issues, the age tax is AARP's ad, and the pre-existing condition thing where they can charge you more.
Obamacare limits the difference in charges from when you're young and to the elderly at three times. So you can charge only three times as much to somebody in, say, 65 as you can someone who's 25. It limited what older folks have to pay, even though they're sicker. This looks really, really bad, folks, because the whole system may collapse because they're cutting out all the motivation for younger people to join it. Now, what will happen is the insurance for older folks will go way up, and the insurance for younger folks will go down. But the people who need it most are going to be paying utterly most. So, Barbara, what is the position of the League of Women Voters on all this?
Call your senators this week.
That's really what the week
has been promoting, and we've sent out news alerts on it, action alerts, to encourage people to call their senators and tell them that the Senate bill does not accomplish affordable health care. Years ago, the League did a position. The League has a habit. I mean, we've been around since 1920. And so the League studies issues. That's the process.
You don't look that old, 1920.
Almost 100, right? We'll be 100 in a couple of years. But the League studies it, and then by consensus, they come up with a position. And on health care, their position has been that everyone is entitled to affordable health care. Everyone has a right to access to health care. And when you look at what's going on in that whole health care industry, you know, they're just chipping away at it and making it more and more difficult. So we've been sending out notices to our members and putting it out there online to call Senator McCain, call Senator Flake, and tell them to reject the bill that they're going to be presented with this week.
Before we leave this, I want to the Flake ads, and you can't be alive and not have seen some of the Flake ads all over TV, all over social media, asking him specifically to not vote for the now. Why? I got my political gurus here, although I know the answer. Why? Why? Do they believe, why are they targeting Flake to be a no vote when all his other votes have been 100% Trump?
Well, I think they've given up. A lot of people have given up on McCain. I will say that Jeff Flake, our senator, was at the Koch brothers big meeting recently.
Over the weekend.
And he's there with the most conservative right-wing guys in the country.
Well, then that makes the ads even sillier.
Yeah. And, well, I think you've got to do what you do. I mean, listen, folks, if you take a look at what this bill actually is, it's going to hurt most of you. Most of you are going to have inferior insurance at more money. We could go on and on about the nature of the bill, but it breaks down the requirement that the bill, your medical insurance, cover everything so that women pay the same thing as men. It covers pregnancy issues. It covers birth. It covers mental illness. And all of that will be able to, the states will be able to take that away.
And just to mention, it's only been out since Thursday, and the huge research staff at Democratic Perspective has not had, you know, a sufficient time to examine every aspect of the bill. So what you've done, as far as I'm concerned, is Herculean.
All right. So the gist of it is this: cuts of benefits to poor and middle class, and the massive decreased taxes to the wealthy. So anyway, that's our perspective. Barbara, let's have the League's more interested in just getting everybody covered, right?
The League is interested in everyone having access to affordable health care and deserving of it.
She used the word right, by the way.
I did.
That health care is a right, and certainly that's the position of lots of doctors' organizations, and certainly the position of lots of organizations that have formed to save the ACA, the Obamacare.
But come back to Jeff Flake, because you asked the question why they're targeting Jeff Flake. You know, he is up for election in 2018. And so I think the goal that people have is to make him accountable. In other words, know what he's doing. Because if you get his emails and his newsletters, they are all glowing. If you call his office, as I know a number of people have, to ask what his position is on health care, they will tell on this health care bill, they will tell you even today that he has not made up his mind. Now, we all know that's probably not the case because of the way he's voted. But that's what his staff is telling everyone in order to hold it off as much as possible. So that gives reason for people to keep trying to put pressure on him, and to then whatever his vote is becomes all the more evident to the public.
And politically, if the other wisdom, I guess, is politically that Jeff Flake needs Democratic votes to get elected. As you pointed out, he's coming up for re-election.
Right.
John McCain isn't.
Right.
Jeff Flake needs Democratic votes because he's perceived to be, in some circles, his record certainly doesn't bear this out, at least the one that I know, that he's a little soft on radical Republicanism.
He doesn't like Trump. That I don't see any break with conservatism, Mike, personally, except that he does not like Trump, never liked Trump. He supported the Obama's opening to Cuba, but that's about it that I see.
Yeah,
well, he's very strong on the conservative voting
record. I see no demonstration of his. If you love me, show me. I see no demonstration of his not liking Trump.
Well, but he's very supported by the Koch brother and conservative organization dollars, and that shows up in everything that he is honored by. He was honored by a group, Citizens Against Government Waste. Now, we all think Citizens Against Government Waste would be great, okay? Yeah. But when you look deeper, the money is coming from Koch brothers and others like them.
And it's a good thing they can't see all my hand gestures. So we're going to talk about, we have the president of the League of Women Voters here, Barbara Littrell. We can have Barbara on every week. She's so busy and so involved, and she has taken on the League of Women Voters wonderfully. And so there's lots of really cool stuff that locally that you're trying. It hasn't been done before.
Well, yeah. And what you were talking about in terms of the gift of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Throughout the country has been the awakening of activism and people wanting to get involved. And so the League has been one of the organizations that has truly benefited from that, because the League has always been encouraging people to get involved in the government processes. And so over the last 2 years, our membership in this area has gone from about 35 to over 135. And it's because people want to know. They want to learn. That I find very interesting, because I've had people say to me, I just haven't paid attention to issues for so many years, and now I realize that I have to get back and learn and understand what's going on.
Well, I think to some extent, when you have a Democrat in the White House, whether it's Clinton or Obama, Democrats sort of turn off and think, well, everything will be okay. We got the president.
We got it covered.
Nothing really terrible is going to happen when we got one of these guys in. They're not going to start another war.
We're not going to kick little kids out of school. We're not going to starve old people. We're not going to cut food stamps. We're going to have Meals on Wheels. All the crazy things that your triple in membership is because the people in charge under Trump are trying to do all of those things, and self-preservation tells you. Now, we know. I keep seeing these hardcore, and then we'll get back to the League, and certainly maybe you're not seeing
Go on, Mike. Hardcore coming, what?
The hardcore Trump supporters don't believe what's happening in front of their eyes. They believe, they don't believe, it's so easy. He has poisoned the well so completely and so thoroughly, the people that have joined the League of Women Voters realize that he has done that. But by saying fake news, by saying CNN is fake news, by saying the New York Times is a liberal lies, it's when there's so much truth. So when you're presented with the truth and you don't believe it, and that's where the hardcore Trump supporters
come. It is a scary thing, because the analogies from of people caught up in these kind of things are very, very bad.
Well, that's where black becomes white.
Yeah, and it's basically can lead to even to sort of fascism. People caught up and everything is invisible to them. People getting hurt are invisible to them.
I don't want to overstate it.
Yeah, no, I don't either, and I don't mean that.
But I am.
But I think that it is disturbing that we're not arguing as liberal Democrats or as liberals or progressives. We're not arguing with conservatives about the issues anymore.
You and I might
be liberal, but they seem sort of off in a completely different world. And so, I remember spending my college years arguing with conservatives in Oklahoma. I mean, we had fun arguing with each other and discussing stuff, and maybe nobody ever changed their opinion much, but it was a long-running rational discussion. The guys across the hall from
it. Because they were reasonable. The League of Women Voters is a bastion of light here. In other words, those people that say, as Barbara just said, those people that recruited by the Trump lies are kind of saying, we need to know what's going on. So they're not necessarily buying, quote-unquote, a liberal message, but they're investigating the other side. They're investigating the fact that it's politics has impact on their lives. Right-wing politics is having big impact on their lives because it's ideologically driven and not reasonable. Like you said, Democrats are in. Old people are going to get fed. Kids are going to go to school. You know, life is going to go on. So you could afford not to be politically active. You can't afford not to be politically active. So as far as I'm concerned, the League of Women Voters needs to triple their membership again, and especially because they got so much cool stuff going on.
Let's talk about that. Okay, but I do want to clarify that the League of Women Voters, because I realize the show is Democratic perspective.
We are Democrats, sort of Democrats.
But the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. We don't support candidates, and we don't support political parties.
Okay.
We support stands on issues. And I had someone say to me a while ago that they felt that a lot of the league positions tended to lean liberal. And that's probably true. I mean, when you think about the healthcare position that we have. But it's really important because when you think about the environment, for example, I mean, who set up the EPA? I mean, that was set up under Richard Nixon.
Right.
And the League has always been for environmental sustainability. And so there's a whole position of the League that delineates that. And it doesn't matter which president or which political person is in office. If they support environmental sustainability, then they are supporting a position that the League supports. It doesn't mean we'll support them. But, you know, so we have had Republican presidents, Democratic presidents who have supported the kinds of positions that we have. And we've been consistent. So the fact that Nixon started the EPA and Trump is about to, you know,
eviscerate the EPA.
The League stays the same in our support for protection.
And I want to mention, even locally, and you know, Barbara's talking about presidents and things, but even locally, the League of Women Voters, if over the years, Democrats have put on lots of functions, and most of them have been candidate forums, if we wanted to appeal, which we often did, to a broader range, we could find a way to convince the League that we were at least bipartisan in this, whatever the event was, a Democratic forum, they would participate. So it would be put on
and
by...
And you've had debates between Republican and Democratic candidates.
We run debates.
You don't endorse them, but you you run debates where people can listen to the...
We used to do the TV debates. Until we used to do the presidential debates until 1988. The League of Women Voters always ran the presidential debates on television.
Oh.
And somewhere in the late 80s, the political parties wanted to take control of what happened in the debates, and the League then walked away from it because it was now going to be heavily influenced by the parties.
Matter of fact, this should be...
Not partisan.
Part of our logo of Democratic perspective. Reason has a liberal bias. Just plain reason has, as people are saying to you, reason has a liberal bias. And so any organization, whether it's the League of Women Voters or the Commies for Christ, if they're reasonable, they have a liberal bias.
So it can't hurt to get out as many facts and as much information about what's actually getting on to as many people as you can, right?
Right. So here's what we're doing. We're trying to meet people where they are, okay? And so the League was always known for candidate forums. But now over the last 2 years, we've developed programs to bring people in to what interests them. So we have voter education programs if you're interested in learning about the issues. Once a month, we have a speaker on a topic that we think will end up on the ballot some way or another. So whether it is the marijuana issue that we had on the last ballot or the school vouchers and so on, we're constantly having speakers on issues so people can get informed. So when it's ballot time, it's not like, what do I do? And then they don't do the right thing if they don't have the information. So voter educations are really, really important. And we're doing those on a regular basis. We started a political book club 2 years ago. And to me, this has been one of the most successful things that we've done. It has brought in people who want to talk about politics based on information. And it just, you know, people bring their suggestions for books. You know, we had one suggestion for the book, Strangers in Their Own Land, and the group read it, and it was all about why people vote against their own best interests in this area in Louisiana, which during the election helped you really understand what is going on in people's minds in those parts of our countries. This coming month,
That's an extremely brilliant book.
It's incredible.
It's a major work of sociology. I think she spent years and years. Arlie
Hochschild.
She spent 5 years down there
talking
to people.
And going back and forth.
And it's kind of non-judgmental. She's just explaining how they think and why they think what they do. And so they can see a giant sinkhole open nearby, but that doesn't change their support for the oil industry because they're detesting
government regulation on that oil industry that affects their jobs.
Right.
Okay.
It affects their health.
And their health.
And the health situation in that area is
But the
is
one that
bad.
We're coming up on this week for discussion is George Lakoff's book, The All-New Don't Think of an Elephant, which is all about framing the message, which is what you kind of talked about before.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to have an amazing discussion on that because of his descriptions of conservative and liberal or progressive
speech. He deals with language.
It's the linguistics.
Yeah. So if you feel like, and as you listen to us and as you listen to all of what's going on politically these days, if you feel like language has a role to play here, it's not just all ideas, that how you say things, you're right. You're absolutely correct. And George Lakoff has been documenting that for 35 years and doing an amazing job.
So there's a tax on leaving money, especially vast amounts of money, to your descendants. And the reason for the tax is one, to collect money for the government to fund things. And the other reason is to limit to some extent the accumulation of money in a few hands and a few families. So, for example, it's a tax. And the Republican, the clever idea was to call it a death tax.
Right.
That was brilliant.
Right. And really? this is what you'll be talking about, those kind of moves.
Well, the global warming versus climate change. You know, he describes the fact that we all talked about it as global warming. Why are we all calling it climate change now? And that was a very deliberate effort on the conservative side to take away the feeling that global warming, if you talk about global warming, it sounds like we're doing it. And it's a disaster in the making. When you talk about climate change, it sounds like nature is doing it,
right.
And it's a very natural thing. So why are we all upset about it? So I now say global warming again. But when you look at these things, framing the message is so important.
So important.
And according to Lakoff, and we'll have a really good discussion on this, progressives have not framed the message well in terms of the values that progressives have and the morals that progressives have. Instead, it's always, you know, a long description of why you should believe this policy rather than the reaching into your soul
and getting
to you right there.
For example, unemployment insurance gives people freedom. You lose your job, you have freedom to spend a little more time finding a better job. Your family is not devastated immediately. It increases your freedom. Social Security in retirement increases your freedom to live and do and be able to retire. Many people could never retire in the current situation. They have no retirement almost beyond Social Security. I remember the statistics that we found, but they were very high. People rely on it. It gives people freedom to move, to have some choice.
Well,
but it's never framed that way. We never talk about the safety net as providing freedom and protection. Like the Affordable Care Act provides protection for you and your family. It gives you the freedom to move from job to job and still have medical insurance.
Well, and women's reproductive rights and the whole issue surrounding that has been framed so that every 4 years it's a litmus test on where you stand on abortion. But slowly the states are putting a lot of things into place to restrict women's choice as it relates to reproductive rights. And it should also be positioned as freedom. I mean, a woman should be free. to make her own decisions. A woman should be just even equal pay makes me as free as you to enjoy these things in life. So when it is positioned in the freedom arena rather than almost the rights arena, it gives another perspective on what that means.
And that's the Lakoff method, is how the left should be framing it and how the right has been so successful at labeling this discussion over and over and over for years and years. We have been terrible. And that, you know, what you were touching on here, by the way, is the reason for a Democratic perspective to be on Chasm Radio this morning. This is when we got together with our supporters to do this show. We're saying there's we have. These are reasonable positions. These, you know, and again, I'm, you know, wanting to let people live and die in dignity is not an unreasonable position in the wealthiest nation in the world. But the right has been so successful. Well, it's not the government's job to do that. And, well, yeah, it is. You know, that's why we come together.
That's
why we form governments. That's why we, the collective action, all of that's very American. But it's, so then the whole anti-government thing that they've been so successful at comes in. And then and people like us, we get into long explanations. And we start babbling angry things and, you know, and end up with, I don't know, Barbara Streisand, go Johnny Depp.
It's like Medicaid. Almost everybody, folks, if you face the actual facts, you're going to run out of money. If you live long enough, you're going to run out of money, and you're going to go on Medicaid. They're going to go through every single penny that you have. Once you get in a nursing home, your money goes and goes. I've seen this personally. In families and
absolutely
and so you get this tremendous statistic where you know almost everybody in a nursing home eventually ends up on Medicaid. They're cutting Medicaid. Some of these cuts will force people out of nursing homes. They will stop the payment for nursing home. They will cut it down so that there's still a meager payment is even more meager. You can't use too strong rhetoric for this. Mike, I want to ask Barbara one question. Okay. And because this is what they say about liberals and intellectuals. You're trying to spread the facts and information and explain what the policy actually is and why it is or isn't a good idea. What they say about Trump supporters is they vote their feelings and sort of resentments against intellectuals and against educated people and against this whole process. They want to go on feelings. They want someone like Trump to go kick ass in Washington, and they don't care about the details. And when you come along with your logical, reasonable discretion, how are you going to affect these folks or just –
I think it goes beyond Trump. Looking at just the Republican agenda, because a lot of people seem to vote for Trump not because they necessarily love Trump, but because it represented the Republican agenda that would be in Congress, because now they've got both houses as well. And so with that Republican agenda in place, people, because we have a lot of people even in this community who are smart, and yet they either voted for Trump or certainly support the strong conservative agenda. And that's really what's at play. Because I don't think all the people that voted for Trump are just, you know, not as intelligent or whatever, that they're just working on feelings. You had a lot of people that voted for him are smart.
I think it's not a question of smart, but it's a question of what you think is
important. It's your
important
philosophy.
I mean, what was it, Colbert's truthiness? Some people are really caught up in truthiness. They're caught up in, look, I've been on unemployment occasionally in my life. I've been around for a long time. What sounds better to you? I've made all my money on my own. I've earned it all my own. Or I've done pretty well in economically, but I've had to have help from the government occasionally when I've lost a job or looking for a new job.
My dad gave me all my money.
Yeah. So what sounds better to you? What feels good?
Yeah, we
what
know
feels
that, yeah.
good is yeah. I'm a self-made man. I did this all myself. Nobody helped me.
Right.
That feels good.
But I want to get to the League of Women Voters schedule. We got so many events coming up in the next 2 months. So I'm going to read this wonderful thing that Barbara brought in, and she's going to say, wait, I want to talk more about that.
Okay.
We already talked about the political book club. We want to talk about the new members gathering on July 10th. Barbara said, if you're interested in getting find out some more stuff, come to the new members gathering from 5 to 7 on July 10th. And there's some phone numbers. You can find them on the website, 649-0135 to RSVP and that sort of thing. We want to talk of July 12th. It's a cool thing. I think we're doing a show on it. The OLLI workshop is called The Goodness of Government, right on what we're talking about this morning, called The Goodness of Government by Andrea Santielli.
Christelle.
She's been on the show, and
she's going to be on the show next week. She's a philosopher.
Andrea's going to be here.
Can I just comment on
please,
that one? Because the goodness of government, Andrea did a program on it somewhere in the last year, and it was very courageous. Because we've all had drilled into our heads that government is bad and that we have to shrink government and get rid of it. And the less government, the better. And Andrea took this fierce stance of the goodness of government, a justification for the state.
There you go.
And we had about 80 people at the library. And so we've asked her to repeat it. She's doing it as
July
an
12th.
OLLI workshop on July 12th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. And, you know, people can check the league website and find the information. But it's really important. Now, OLLI has been terrific about working with the league in helping to get information out. So we partner with them on a lot of things. But that's an exciting concept to have people suddenly have the nerve to say in public, government is good.
Let's talk a little bit more about Andrea Castell and the League Board members will lead Finding Agreement in Politics, National Issues from Deliberations. That's Wednesday, July 5th through the 26th at 2:45, room 40, the League of Women Voters. What's the rest of that? Oh, of the Greater Verde Valley, we'll use the National Issues Forum model to debate and deliberate about the following topics.
Yeah, don't add any more initials to your name.
We the people, our role, role in 21st century politics, safety and justice, how should communities reduce violence, the end of what we should do for those who are dying. The end of life, what we should do for those who are dying.
But the important thing on this one is it's almost, it's not quite a game, but this National Issues Forum is an online forum where we in this room could all go onto our computers and the facilitator leads you to make choices.
Like a webinar.
Making choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
First you see how far apart you are in your choices and opinions, and slowly you work towards getting closer.
Are they going to do all three of these issues at one time?
No. It's going to run on Wednesdays from July 5th through the 26th.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
the
4
weeks. Issues, one each week.
Yes.
I've been to the Pew Charitable Trusts forums, and they do it like that.
Yes.
It's very effective.
It's terrific.
It's really effective, and it cuts down on animosity and all that other.
Well, it's all about finding common ground.
Right.
Or at least finding something that you can get close on. And then maybe there's discussion that can follow after that.
So are you participating in this thing with the people there, but also people online all over the country?
No. At this point, Andrea is going to be leading these in the computer room at OLLI at Yavapai College. And everyone will be on the computer, and they will be putting in their answers.
Sounds very interesting.
It is. And I participated in a pilot on it, and there were 5 of us on it talking about safety and justice. And we started out with people in all different directions, and then it was like, if I adjust this, if I make this change, where does that put you? And before you know it, we were close on about 2 out of 5 different
issues. It was brilliant. The one I attended was there's 500 people on Social Security. They paid for our trips down to Phoenix. Mileage thing, and exactly what Barbara said is that, I mean, we had J.D. Hayworth and a couple of liberals on the stage, and then the rest of us were in the audience at tables of 10. And so these 500 people, through this process, came to at least some kind of realization.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good process. So the rest of the month in July, you got political book club on the July 29th. You got board meetings and things. On July 27th,
mm-hmm.
All this stuff will be on our website, folks. VVID.org. All this stuff will be on our website. You can find it on the League website. But we have Let's Talk Politics.
We'll have a link to the
League on our website. We have Let's Talk Politics from 8:30 to 10 at the Sedona Community Center, and we don't call it a senior center around here. We have the League of Women Voters members meeting, Let's Talk Politics. Tell us about that for a second.
Okay.
Well, we talked before off the air.
This came about because in this particular time, people are dying to talk about what's on their minds. And, you know, when we get together, there are usually anywhere between 15 and 25 people. And we either sit in small groups or as one whole big group. And people want to share what kept them up last night. In other words, I was really upset about the health care bill. Or the vouchers in Arizona are driving me crazy. Or, you know, I really like this or I'm really worried about this. What are people worried about? And then what are other people's opinions about those issues? And the League is always action-driven. So we always try at the end of it to say, so what can we do about this? And it's a matter of which legislator you call or which person you can get to bring you more information. So we try to have everything end up in some kind of action.
Yeah.
And this last time when we had the Let's Talk Politics, it's summertime in Sedona, so we were a small group.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were talking about what we just were talking about, the difference between conservative and progressive, and starting with what's the philosophy, which is individualism, and we came up with on the progressive side healthy society, because you talk about it, we're all in this together, and you know, then how does that affect your policies, and how does that affect the outcome of those policies? And you know, the outcome of the conservative policies, we kind of came up with the fact that it's an accumulation of wealth is the outcome, and the outcome of the progressive policies were a healthy society where people can thrive on opportunity. It was opportunity that came out of it. So lots of good things come out of that discussion.
All right. So Barbara, I'm working, and this guy over here is not working. Why should I support him as part of being a healthy society? He's not working.
Come to the Let's Talk
Politics.
I don't know
why he's not working. Maybe he's sick. Maybe, you know, he but why should I support him? Why? What's the key behind the idea of a healthy society?
Okay,
that
and this comes right back to Alexis de Tocqueville in the 1890s visiting America and writing his book on democracy and looking at the fact that in America, what he was so amazed at, we did this in our Healing the Heart of Democracy class based on Parker Palmer's book that we also read in the book club, but it's Healing the Heart of Democracy. And he was always impressed that America, people formed organizations all the time to solve problems, and that there was this balance between individualism and communal fabric, community. And when we go too much in one direction, which is kind of where we're going right now toward individualism, that the communal fabric gets shredded. And so in Parker Palmer's book, he talks about the five habits for the heart of democracy. And the five habits of the heart, and I think you'll identify with these. The first one is we're all in this together. Now, if you believe that you are all in this together, then you're not going to be upset about helping someone else who may be having a hard time. If you believe we're all in this together, if you believe that you have an appreciation of others and you sincerely have an appreciation of others, whether they're immigrants, foreigners, and so on, and you respect around the world, then that's building the heart of democracy, and that's what we're about. The third one is being able to manage this conflict. Just as you said, I've got this conflict. I'm working hard. He's not working. This is a conflict. If I really care about a healthy society, then I'm willing to do what is necessary to bring us all along together. Nobody got anywhere by themselves. I mean, we all, no matter how rich you are, somebody inspired you. Somebody helped you. There are government roads you're driving on. So, I mean, it's not as though you're doing all this by yourself. The fourth one is voice and agency. And that is really speaking up, and that's what we all talk about, the importance of voice and agency. And the last habit of the heart of democracy is building community, not building individualism, nurturing individualism. But someone gave me this great example of, you know, take a seed. When a seed grows down first before it grows up.
There are beautiful. Those kinds of things and other issues are talked about. We want to talk about the August slate of activities, which repeats some of the July slate.
Uh-huh.
But August 3rd, we got philosophy and politics. Once again, Andrea Christel will be presenting, Is There a Problem with American
with alternative facts?
Is there a problem? And that'll be at Yavapai College over in Clarkdale.
No, it's in Sedona.
It'll be at my college in Sedona.
It's Monday morning.
That's right. My job.
We'll be talking with Andrea.
My job
about
is to give false news. Your job is to correct me. August 15th, I like this one. Human Rights Film Festival screening at the Mary D. Fisher Theater to be announced. The league is going to present a couple of human. You got any ideas yet?
Yes, we do. Well, here's the August situation. August 18th is the date that. Tennessee was the last state to ratify the amendment giving women the right to vote. So every August 18th, we have a celebration celebrating women's right to vote. During that week, we also try to have a couple of films. Last year, we did films on voter rights. This year, we're looking at doing film on either women's rights or human rights. And so there are a couple of films that we're examining now. We're grateful to Pat Schweiss at the film festival because he allows us to show the films at Mary Fisher Theater. So we have a film on the 15th, a film on the 16th, and on the 18th, we have one of our local women is Camilla Ross, who has an organization called, I think it's Emerson Theater, and she does performances, and she is doing a live performance for us. It's called The Dream of Harriet Tubman, Harriet Tubman's Dream, and it's going to be at the Mary Fisher Theater. We're having a reception at 6 and the performance at 7, and so that kind of gives us, because Harriet Tubman worked on women's suffrage as well as being an abolitionist. So that's really a very appropriate kind of thing. So August is always exciting around the issue of women's right to vote.
That sounds like a great program. We want to, and then the rest of August, we'll repeat some of the July events. The Let's Talk Politics at the Sedona Community Center, the voter education program on August 21st. The August Let's Talk Politics is on August 24th, and the Political Book Club comes around again on August 26th. All right, we want to mention certainly the Democrats of the Red Rocks, one of our supporters, and I want to mention to Barbara Luttrell here. Barbara Luttrell, from the League of, President of the League of Women Voters, has been our guest today and a wonderful guest. That some of the programs at Democrats of the Red Rocks started very slowly with 5 and 6 people. We had more crew than we had people there for the event in the beginning. But then things like their breakfast, we now get routinely 100 people at the Sedona right. breakfast, which they have at the old Sedona Bar and Grill every third Thursday.
And they're having they're continuing all this summer. And normally Dore used to stop right. Their breakfast in June, but they have breakfast going all in July and August. Mike's going to interview the speaker for the next breakfast. And
By the way, folks, I'm here all alone for most of July, so that please tune in. It's gonna be a wild time, I'm telling you. Steve will be gone. I'm gonna have the microphone all by myself, so it's gonna
so next week you can't say anything. All right, I get
time.
A whole show.
We want to mention El Portal, one of our other great supporters, Steve Segner, and the whole crew over at El Portal gives us some wonderful support throughout the year. We want to mention this and all our shows can be found on vvid.org. Please go to Verde Valley Independent Democrats. You can find this podcast. And if you want some more of this league information, there's all sorts of ways to find it there. Between links and our summary, please, folks, Democratic Perspective, thank you very, very much.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.